Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All Employment Network conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, March 12, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Michelle Leysher, Employment Network Development and Training Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Hope. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. We know that we actually had to change your schedules a little bit by moving our call from last week, given our snow day here in the D.C. area, to this Thursday. So we really do appreciate you rescheduling your time and making your time available to listen and participate to the call this afternoon. At this time, I'd like to just turn it over to Desiree Fitzgerald for some general announcements and updates. Desiree?
Thank you, Michelle. Hello, everyone. Before we get into the thick of the agenda today, I wanted to make sure that you all are aware of two messages that you received recently through Grub Delivery. You would have received one last Friday with the subject, Change in Cuba Availability Paves the Way to Extended E-Pay Services. Effective today, we are no longer going to be posting updated Cuba information quarterly until further notice. We needed to update some of our disclosure and privacy information. We need to renegotiate our agreement with the Office of Child Support Enforcement, and our general counsel asked us to discontinue this until we do those things. So we've taken it down, but we are happy that this gives us an opportunity to offer what we think is even a better service. We're going to extend ePay to everyone who doesn't currently have ePay. This would be ePay that covers milestone and outcome payments. Right now, ePay is available. Some of you benefit from the universal auto pays, and then there are some special ePays for a particular business model. But any EN under any type of business model would qualify more than likely for ePay under the new model. So, we're just happy to be able to bring that information. That piece of progress, we actually consider it progress out of adversity. So anyway, we hope that you see it the same. And for state VR agencies, we're offering a similar service to what they currently get since their needs are different. But for VR ENs, I wanted to make that mention, so your cost reimbursement side of the house would still be covered as well. The other document that you received this week was a message from David Weaver, and we're very happy that he was able to send out something to you all about the new portal itself, which is what we're featuring on this call today. In his message, he pointed out some of the benefits, and we'll elaborate on some of that today. And he also had reminder information in there about preparing to use it, because it will, we think it's going to represent an improvement in service and a continuation of improvement in service, because where we are now actually has served us well also. But please check out those two documents. There are links to other resources in David's message. And with that, I'll just turn it back to you, Michelle.
Thank you, Desiree. And as Desiree was saying, Mr. Weaver's message actually is our kickoff to the ticket portal, which we are very excited to present to you this afternoon. Desiree is going to speak to the advantages and benefits of the new ticket portal, and then Katie's going to talk about the differences in the new system. And then our office staff, Adele Barr, will be speaking to actually walking through the processes that you will be using in order to look at payments, TPR, ticket assignments, all of the functions that you have, and a lot more within the portal that currently exists, but will be closing out and moving on to the ticket portal. So with that, I actually want to turn it back over to Desiree, and we really do appreciate, we have great attendance on this call, and we do appreciate your participation and calling in today. Desiree?
Thanks. Yeah. Well, this is a highly anticipated moment for us, and we expect that the same is true for many of you, particularly if you use the current portal. We've been talking about this for about a year now, and we're finally ready to give you a glimpse. We've made a lot of progress. We have a lot of screens that are available. There are a lot of things that are not yet available, but you'll get the feel and the look of the system itself, and you'll see the queries that you can make, and you'll get to see the payment feature. And Katie will give you some information about how what we have today, what you're seeing today, is going to compare to what you have been doing in the past. But I just wanted to say something along the lines of why we're doing this, because I know that's probably on some of your minds. We've put a lot of work into the current portal, and with your assistance pointing out things, we've put it into tip-top shape, and you may be wondering, well, why are we changing now? And the current portal has served us very, very well, but the new portal is actually part of a larger effort where we're modernizing and consolidating our return-to-work systems. So we needed to connect the dots, basically. We needed to bring together the processing systems and the notice systems and, the MI systems. We needed to make sure everything was connected and that there was one central point, and so that we wouldn't have to worry about information not being synchronized because it's housed in different places and all of that. And, you know, some of the manual processes being folded in so we don't lose track of paper. So there are a lot of good reasons, and it's going to end up being a better product. We'll have to get through our growing pains. We've had some setbacks with our schedules, but we are still planning to bring it to you in spring. We're not prepared to say the exact date yet, but we will be transitioning folks in during the spring time frame. But we are really, really happy about this and hope that it translates into administrative savings for you and better service to your clients, our beneficiaries. So with that, I'm going to give it to Katie to give you the overview of the current and new portal functions.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go over some high-level differences between the current portal and the new portal. The first thing I'm going to go into is the access requirements. As you're aware, the current portal requires a valid PIN and password, and your identity is verified over the phone. Your account in the current portal is set up and maintained by Awesome. So if you have a problem or you have problems accessing the portal, Awesome is the one who is going to help you because they're the ones who set up the account and set up your access. And I know that you can give access to users yourself if you have an account. In the new portal, things are going to work a little differently because you are directly accessing our system and our data. You also need a valid username and password, but the username and password is from a My Social Security account with extra security. This account is maintained by SSA, so if there's a problem with that account, you have to contact the 1-800 number or go to the website. Your identity is verified by text instead of by telephone. The reason for this is that we have to know you are who you say you are. You cannot have a shared account. We have to be able to verify it because, like I said, we're using my socialsecurity.gov account, and that account username and password can be used to go into that account and check your own personal earnings statement. We do not want that account to be breached, and we don't want this account here at the new portal being breached, so we verify your identity via text because anybody can pick up a phone. And then the point of contact after you get your username or password is going to be your ENSB representative or the BR help desk in enrolling you to the new portal. Now, actual business processes, ticket assignability. Right now, the current portal and the new portal will both have ticket assignment in batch, meaning multiple at the same time, or one at a time. The difference is the current portal the information in there is 2 to 3 days old by the time you get the information. In the new portal, the information is in real time. If you do a ticket assignability and it says the ticket is assignable, especially if you do it one at a time, you can click a button and have that assigned to you the next minute. You will see that ticket go from being something you wanted to assign to on your list of assigned tickets right then and there, instead of waiting for it to process through our contractor system, back to SSA's system, and back to the portal. So especially, if it may take you 2 or 3 days to find out that something has been rejected, that a ticket assignment you tried to process didn't go through, you will not be able to pass that screen. It will tell you you cannot assign that ticket, and you will know right then and there. Another difference is payment requests. The current portal lets you key information in the portal, fill in the payment request yourself. The evidence from that is made into a document, and often staff has to upload that evidence, and they have to split it out into different payment requests. In the new portal, you are actually making a payment request yourself. By keying in the information, you are making a work case in our system. So if you're the one typing it in, it is going to be in that system. It will show up in your pending list as soon as you click the submit button because you have created a payment request. No staff interaction is going to be necessary. You will know if the payment request made it to our system or not, and there will not be a delay. And we have this ability now where you can fax in evidence. We have a cover sheet that is going to be created. And when you fax in your associated evidence for evidentiary payments, it will automatically associate the pay stub that you fax in to that work case that's created. Nothing should be lost. Nothing should be misplaced. It will automatically create a link between both of those documents, and the staff ready to make the payment request should be able to make that payment right then and there if everything else is in place. Pending payments in the current portal are not in real time, but in the new portal, they will be. Like I said, you should be able to go from one link to another and see it reflected in the list, which we will show you in the demo. And the marketing file right now is not in the current portal, but is mailed to you on a CD. In the new portal, you'll be able to download it yourself, and you'll be able to filter it. Say you don't need all of the records, you don't need 1,000, 100,000 at a time. You'll be able to filter it and make your own list from the website. And the information here will be updated on a weekly basis instead of a monthly basis, and the information will be more current. And the new functionality that we're adding that we're really excited about is that you will be able to send a secure message to any of our help desks using the portal. So instead of relying on emails and, attaching documentation and trying to make sure you're communicating about the right beneficiary or the right payment request, you'll be able to click on the actual payment request you have a question about and send a message, and the other person here or at Awesome will be able to help you. So that is just a broad overview of the high-level functionality, and I will send it back to Michelle.
Thank you, Katie. Actually, this is Adele Barr. I am a member of the Program Integrity Department, and I thank everyone for joining us today as we explore the new ticket portal. Now, we designed this presentation in an effort to simulate the experience that you will have once you're able to access the portal. We will navigate through the system by clicking on links. Let me take a peek. I just want to have a technical moment. If anyone in the chat can tell me, are you able to see the presentation at the moment?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, thank you everyone for your patience. So first, what we will do is we'll visit the main menu of the ticket portal. Let's review what you will find here. The ticket assignment list section allows you to view a list of the beneficiaries currently or formally assigned to your EN. The payment section allows you to review payments already made to your EN and all pending payments for your EN. The assigned and unassigned beneficiary section will allow you to check the assignability of a beneficiary by Social Security number, assign and unassigned tickets, upload a file to check assignability
or process assignments or unassignments. For multiple beneficiaries, and check the status of the uploaded files and download the responses when ready. The About Your EN or State SVR section allows you to download a PDF that displays directory information about your EN. Finally, the Case Notes section allows you to search for case notes you entered for a beneficiary. Now, there is also a sitemap on your screen at the bottom left-hand corner. This displays the outline of the EN portal application and the screens associated with each action. To the right of the sitemap, at the bottom of the screen, is My EN SVR Capabilities link, which displays the actions your EN can perform or access using the ticket portal, as well as any restrictions Social Security has set for your EN. To the right of My EN SVR Capabilities is My Own Rights and Capabilities, which displays the actions you can perform or access using the ticket portal. And to the right of My Own Rights and Capabilities is Links, which displays links to useful websites. Next to Links is Reference Table, which provides access to information like denial reason codes, SGA and trial work amounts, and ticket payment amounts. This will be a pop-up window that you can reference as you're working with the ticket portal. And here you see the announcements link at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, which will allow you to see the announcements at any time. Finally, there is a sign-out button in the upper left-hand corner. It is important that you sign out by clicking the Sign Out button instead of just simply closing your browser. Also, you want to be aware or be careful of using the Back button on your web browser because it will actually log you out of the ticket portal. Okay, we will now look into assigning a new ticket. The first step is to determine if the ticket is eligible. During your initial review with the beneficiary, you can determine if his or her ticket has been assigned by going to the Check Assignability by SSN link. The individual ticket status and use history screen will display. You must enter a Social Security number to review the ticket status and ticket use history. Enter a Social Security number and you select Search. The screen will display the information for the ticket status and the ticket use history based on that particular Social Security number. For this example, we will assume that the beneficiary's ticket has not been assigned. And since the beneficiary's ticket is not assigned, you can complete and sign the individual work plan. If you are a new EN and have less than 10 tickets, you will need to fax or upload through the old portal, the IWP, to the Operations Support Manager. In a later release, before the April rollout, additional functionalities to assign and unassign tickets for single beneficiaries will be included here. Let's go ahead and we'll assume that we're an EN that has set up for the ticket assignment request process, where you do not have to submit IWPs, but have them stored in your office. With this being the case, an EN would be able to assign a ticket on the portal. And from the screen, the EN would click on the Assign a Ticket button. The EN would assign a ticket by inputting the beneficiary's name and ticket assignment date. Remember, this functionality will only be available to ENs that are set up with the ticket assignment request process. We will now select the Submit button to assign the ticket. Also, if you want to submit a file with multiple beneficiaries for assigning and unassigning, you'll be able to upload files following a standard format. And we will circulate the specifications of the file formats later to all service providers. When uploading such a file, depending on the number of beneficiaries and the load on the system, you may have to come back at a later time to see the results of the submission. Let's assume you are an EN that needs to submit an IWP and you've uploaded the IWP to the ticket portal. When you come back to see your IWP uploaded, you'll select the processing status of the file upload. And the file processing status upload screen will display. As you see, this is a display screen. And this will display the processing status of uploads for your EN. You can also download the processed file for your use. And if you make note, the values in the following columns can be selected, and a pop-up description will display the file type, processing status, and downloaded. We'll go ahead and select the main menu button to return to the main menu. Assuming that the file uploaded, you can check the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me to make sure the ticket for the beneficiary was assigned. The list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen displays the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to your EN. You can use search filters such as assignment date ranges either by using the calendar icon or typing it in. You can also search by name to narrow down the search results. We have blurred out some of the beneficiaries' names, but we'll click on the Actions link, circled in red, next to one of the beneficiaries' information. This advances to the More Actions screen and will take you to a list of actions that you can perform specifically for this beneficiary. Please note, this is a dynamic list and will show you only those actions that are applicable for this beneficiary. In this example, it displays 8 different menu items for the beneficiary. The menu items should be self-explanatory, but we'll go ahead and we'll review them together. The Show Payments option will display payments for the beneficiary. The Show Pending Payments will display any pending payments for the beneficiary. Now, this link will only display if there are pending payments for the beneficiary. The Show Assignments link will display the ticket status of the beneficiary. The Show TPR link allows you to see the status of the beneficiary's timely progress review. The View and Manage Case Notes link allows you to enter case notes. This confidential information can only be viewed by your EN and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. But you may want to include important information pertaining to the client's case or to a future activity for this particular client. Request a payment will allow you to submit a payment request. The Unassign or Close This Case link allows you to unassign a ticket. And finally, just for demonstration purposes, the Convert VR Case to the Ticket link will allow a VR to convert a VR case over to the ticket program. Let's now go ahead and select Unassign or Close This Case to unassign a ticket. To unassign a ticket, enter the ticket assignment date and specify who requested the ticket unassignment. Once the EN clicks Submit, a screen will appear to confirm that the unassignment was successful. Let's click Close to return to the More Actions menu. Let's now walk through the process of submitting a payment request by selecting Request a Payment. The Payment Request screen is an input screen where you can request payment for a claim month based on the beneficiary selected from the beneficiaries currently assigned to me screen. Here we enter a claim month and select Submit. Please note that you need to submit separate payment requests for each claim month. Now you will enter the payment type of Phase 1 milestone, Phase 2 milestone, or outcome payment. If you are requesting a Phase 1 milestone, you must enter a number 1 through 4 in the box. Enter a milestone number from 1 to 4, and this is to indicate the Phase 1 milestone payment that you're requesting for payment. The milestone numbers are not required for Phase 2 and outcome requests. At this stage, the portal performs certain validations to check if the payment request is allowable. If the validations fail, it will not let you proceed with submitting the payment request. It also checks to see if there are sufficient earnings for the claim month and payment type requested already available in Social Security's internal system. If so, the portal will not prompt for any further information and will let you select if you want the fax mail cover sheet, which we'll describe a little bit later. If there are no earnings in the Social Security system, it will treat the request as an evidentiary payment request. It will prompt you to choose the appropriate evidence type, such as employer statement, pay stub, or work number data, and will prompt you to enter the earnings information. Now you would enter the employer information, pay period start date, pay period end date, pay date, gross amount paid, new amount paid, and press submit. Please note not to use any special characters with the employer information. You can also enter a note for the payment by selecting yes by add note and check the box for proof of earnings will be faxed in. Then press submit. Once you hit submit, a work case will automatically be created in Social Security system, and you will see the payment request as a pending payment. Now, as an option, the system will allow you to enter notes for your own reference, if any. And please know that no one at Social Security or the Operations Support Manager can see these notes. This is only for you to make notes for your needs. If you entered earnings information, you must fax in the corresponding evidence using a cover page generated from the portal. To achieve that, you must select proof of earnings will be faxed in. If the system found the earnings and did not prompt you for earnings information, then sending any evidence is optional. If you select proof of earnings will be faxed in, a fax mail cover page will display. This page will include a Social Security reference number, which will be the same as the current work case number. And please save this cover sheet in a local computer. If you'd like to e-fax your evidence, merge this cover page and your evidence so that the cover page is the first page, and then e-fax it. If you're sending the evidence by regular fax machine, please print this cover page and send it as the first page with your copies of your evidence. Now, the page has a barcode which automatically attaches your submission to the work case, ensuring quicker processing of your payment. The cover page cannot be used more than once. Any additional submissions will not get processed. Okay, we will now go back to the More Actions menu, and since we have entered the payment, we want to make sure the payment is in the system. We'll go ahead and click on the Show Pending Payments link. And the Pending Payments link displays all the pending payments for the beneficiary. We will see the payment request that we just submitted. And as Katie mentioned earlier, this information will be real time. If you want to see payment requests that completed processing, either paid or denied, we will have to use the Show Payments link from the More Actions menu. When you select the Show Payments link, the individual ticket payment summary screen will display. We want to see why John Doe's payment on 12/10/2012 was denied. So you notice there is a denial code of 02. And to find out what that code means, we can either select denial codes at the top left-hand corner of the table, circled in red, or click on the denial codes by the transaction in question. So we'll go ahead and click on the denial code circled in red by the transaction for 12/10/2012. As you see, this displays a pop-up with the denial information. We'll go ahead and close the pop-up by selecting the X in the top right-hand corner. See? Let's select the button Close to close out of the Show Payment screen, and we will select the Close button to close out of the More Actions screen. Let's select the Main Menu button to return to the Main Menu. Okay, we're back to the Main Menu. We will now explore another option to check if a payment is finished processing. We will now select View Payments Already Made to Me. You may search here for payments already made to your EN for all the beneficiaries based on dates and denials, whereas the Show Payment screen displays payments for one beneficiary. The Payments Already Made to Me screen is similar to the Employment Network Payment Status Report on the old portal. Enter the dates you wish to search, and please note that the start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. Results will display, which you can view on a spreadsheet by selecting the option Download Entire List to Excel. Let's click on the Main Menu button to go back to the Main Menu. Let's take a look at Timely Progress Review status. We will select beneficiaries currently assigned to me from the Main Menu, and we will select the Actions link to go to More Actions menu. We're selecting the TPR status link from the More Actions menu. And the TPR status screen allows you to see the status of John Doe's timely progress review. We will click on the Provide TPR Assistance link. And this takes you to a screen that allows you to enter TPR qualifying criteria and also optional comments online. You will press the Submit button once you entered all of the information. Let's take a look at case notes. We will select View and Manage Case Notes link from the More Actions menu. Now, the ticket portal allows you to enter case notes. This confidential information can only be viewed by your EN and not by Social Security or the Operations Support Manager. You may choose to use case notes to include important information about a beneficiary or a future activity for a client. Let's select Add a Note. You can add notes by selecting Note Diary Date. The note expires date provides you the option of having the note disappear at a specified time. You would select the Save button to save the notes. And when you return to the case note screen, the note will display and a delete button will be available. Select the close button to return to the More Actions menu. Select the button close from the More Actions menu. Here we'll select from the main menu, list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me. From the main menu, we will select View Directory Information about your EN or SVR. The View Directory Information about your EN or SVR screen will display, and this is an active screen, This screen allows you to view all directory information for your EM. You must select whether to include all service sites or only active service sites. Once the radio button is selected, select the Download All Service Sites link. An Adobe document will load with the information based on your selection, and this should be the first item you check to make sure that all your information is correct. If you find that there is incorrect information, contact your ENSB representative at Social Security. We'll click on the Sign Out button in the upper left-hand corner. And this concludes the presentation. Michelle?
Thank you, Adele, for that thorough overview. It's much appreciated. And the comments from Desiree and Katie, thank you for those as well. We have several questions on the chat line, and we will definitely go through a few of those. We also want to open the phone lines to receive questions from our call-in
participants
as well.
Excuse me, Michelle.
Yes, Desiree.
Oh, Teresa joined us, and so I'm going to turn it over to her to make a few remarks, if you don't mind, before we move on.
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Hi, this is Teresa Schilling with the EN Service Branch, and I just wanted to remind everyone that prior to getting access to the new portal, you must have suitability clearance, signed up for your MySSA.gov account with the extra security, and completed your security awareness training. Our EN specialists have been contacting the ENs, and if you haven't been contacted, you may email enservice@ssa.gov, or you can contact your EN specialist. They will need your SSN and your name to enroll you in the portal.
Thank you, Teresa. Now we're going to go into a chat line. And I do want to make sure that everyone knows that we will post the questions and answers from this call. We will summarize some of the questions because they are very similar, so not every question will be identified in the document. But we want to let you know that there will be a follow-up information from this call. And the presentation will be available online shortly. So, Melissa, before we open the call line, do you want to read a few of the questions, I believe, on the Cuber?
Sure. First question, is there a time frame that you can give us when the Cuber info will be available again, as we have found that ePay is not accurate and many are missed?
Michelle, I'm going to need to interject once more.
Go right ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, we're not certain at this point whether we're going to be able to post this online or not. But this information will be available in a user guide in the future, and there will be training available. So if we aren't able to post the presentation, this is work that's still in progress. There are going to be new screens added. We wanted to give you a first look at things as they exist now so you could just get a sense of where we're going. But if in the instance that we aren't able to post it just yet, just know that you will get full documentation and training and elaborate hand-holding as you transition or whatever you need. Awesome. We'll continue to provide you with the things that you need to be successful.
Actually, Desiree, that was several of the questions, so you've answered that. So thank you very much.
All right.
So we look forward to getting that out to our ENs. Do you want to go ahead and follow up on the Cuber question, which was per your comments earlier on when you might be available or something similar might be available? To the Cuber report, there was a question that asked, when will the next type of Cuber report be available?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I must need a new prescription in my glasses because I cannot see one word on the webinar in the chat room. But But, yes, we are looking to have the ePay replacement service in place in June. So that's the time frame we're shooting for. Was that the question?
Yes, it was. Thank you, Desiree.
Okay.
And now we're going to go to a portal question, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
The next question about the portal is, how long will it take to get access to the portal once you submit all of your information for suitability, clearance, and Social Security? And a question that goes with that is, when will this new portal be available?
Well, getting access to the portal will depend on the time frame for when we bring people in. We'll have to do that based on a we may have to do that based on a schedule, and we may be able to bring you in when you're ready. But for now, we're just in pilot mode. But once we have, the full functionality or close to that ready, we'll start transitioning folks in. And so you'll be given a date when we would bring you in. But you can always provide information based on what Teresa just told you, and our system can have you in it as a registered user. So on the dates that we flip a switch, then you would be, included in that group.
Okay. We have a couple of questions around the payment process and the submission of pay stubs now, or I'll let Melissa read the question.
Sure. So one of the questions was about, numerous questions were about faxing in pay stubs instead of uploading them. So if we could just go back over that information.
This is Katie responding to that. So the way we're going to have it work is if you go to, like that screen showed you, you're going to go in, pick a beneficiary that you want to submit a payment request for, you're going to enter the claim month. We're going to go through our systems, and if we have enough earnings in our system for that payment, we're not going to ask you to enter all of that earnings information that you saw there on that screen. We're not going to ask you to submit the pay stub information or the employer information, and that's going to submit a payment request. But if we do not have earnings in our system, we are going to need you to give us some evidence for the payment, and that is where we want you to fax in the earnings information. Like I was trying to explain earlier, by faxing it in, it is automatically going to attach your evidence to the work case that's created in our system. So we will not be having you upload files like you do right now. We want you to fax. You can use a regular fax, or you can do e-fax if you want to keep everything electronic. You can bundle all of your payment requests together. It's not like you have to do, 1 month at a time, sit there, wait for the fax, and wait for it to come back. So you can do multiple batches at a time. I did see a question on here about how to do the submit request for phase one milestone payments. So if you notice on your payment status report for phase one milestone two, even though it covers more than 1 month of earnings, there is only one claim month on the report. You're going to have to pick the correct claim month when you do this. And obviously, if you pick the wrong claim month, our staff is going to realize what you're trying to do and make it the correct month. But you only need to make a payment request for 1 month. Right now, I know that you are currently entering, all the months that they had earnings in order to qualify for that phase one milestone, but we're not going to need you to do that. We're just going to need you to pick the claim month that you are going to get paid for, which is the last month that they have the earnings. If it requires 6 months of earnings, then we want you to put it in the 6 month. All this information is very detailed, and this will be in the training. This will be in our guide. Don't feel like you have to understand all of the fine details now because, this is not rolled out yet. We're not ready to give you the whole system. So I hope you don't feel that we're glossing over some things. We want to make sure that you get an idea of where we're going, but you don't need the exact details at this time. Rest assured, we're going to work with you, and we're going to get everything working properly so that you can try our brand new portal and the new benefits that come with it.
Thank you, Katie. We're going to go now to the phone line because I know that everyone's not on the chat line, so we want to get a few questions from our callers. Operator, will you open the line?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Judy Sanderson.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm going to apologize up front. About partway through your demo, my computer kicked me off and I couldn't get back onto the demo. So you may have covered it and I just may not have been able to see it.
That's okay.
I had a couple questions. When somebody was talking about VR being able to convert somebody over to an EN, were you referring to only within that VR office that they, you know, because some VRs are regular VR, but they also have an EN component. Was that within their four walls, or could, say a VR office in my state could transfer somebody over to my agency, which is an EN?
No, that particular feature allows that VR agency to move a client that they have from their cross-reimbursement payment system to an EN payment system.
So it's within their four walls. Okay. And the, in terms of the faxing, you mentioned that a fax cover sheet could only be used once. Is there going to be a process, because we all have these fax machines that all of a sudden it sucks in two pieces of paper at the same time, and if your cover sheet's already been used once and we can't use it again, are we going to have to go back and just resubmit all over again?
Well, that fax sheet has the particular identifying information that will allow it to associate itself with the work case. So it's really critical that you use that fax sheet. And I'm glad you brought up this type of question, because you may want to make a copy of your fax sheet before you fax it, and or you know, if you have it electronically, then you have it, of course. But if you're faxing it in, you know, just make a copy, because the identifying information is attached to that. If you were to request another cover sheet, it would not associate that work case.
I don't think I was clear, because I'm not saying I'm losing the fact sheet. I'm saying that you put the cover sheet with your evidence and you put it into the fax machine and the cover sheet goes through fine, but then when it goes to pull in the pay stub information that you're sending along, sometimes it'll take two pages at one time. So the fax is not going through correctly, yet I've already used the cover sheet. I can't reuse it to send it through again, because you just said you can only use the cover sheets once.
Yeah, you will still have the same, you know, good quality payment service that you have today. So when they get information like that and there are questions, they will reach out to you to try to figure out what's what and to make sure that they are processing the payment correctly.
So maybe what I end up doing is, if I've caught it, if I see it happening, then I know that somebody's going to be emailing me or whatever that they're missing a page.
Yeah, they're going to look at the data, and if they can't make a decision based on what came through, and there was some evidence attached, but it's inconclusive, you know, concerning whether they have all the pages, they'll address those kinds of things with you directly.
But you're saying I can't simply take out that cover page and try to resubmit the whole package again. That just isn't going to work.
No.
All right. And then my very last question is, I know that in order for us, like, I've got my extra security, and all our staff have got our security clearance, and those of us that are going to are getting the additional security in our MySSA account. So we're going to have to get in touch with our EN specialist, give them our ESCO security number and our username, I believe. And then I think I've seen reference to the fact we also have to submit that security, that one-page security form that we all have to sign off on annually that says, yep, I know, all, you know, I'm going to follow all these steps and I know what I have to do to keep things secure. I thought that had to be submitted, too.
That's the security awareness form.
Yes, yes.
Security awareness training, yes.
Yeah. If we've already submitted that, like we have all our staff, we do it once a year. We do it all in April. That way I can be sure that everybody's done at least once a year. And we submitted ours last April. So if we get on before April, are we covered, or do we need to submit it again?
You would be covered.
Okay, good. So I can hope to get on before April then. All right. That was it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Operator, do we have another call?
Your next question comes from the line of Susan Webb.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, everybody. Hi. This might be a really dumb question, and I might be the only person who doesn't know this. I don't know what ePay is. I know what AutoPay is, But what is ePay? We've never had that. I thought that was related to payments that were made, like, to One Stop.
Right.
What am I missing?
No, that's not a dumb question at all. You may recognize it as Universal Auto Pay.
It's the same thing?
We actually, you don't have to request the payment. We'll look and check our records, and if we have earnings information that allow us to pay you, we will do that, and it's normally based on a schedule, and we would make the payment. So, yes, we're extending the payment service where you don't have to actually request it.
So what you're, I'm kind of confused is the relationship between not sending out the QBER and the ePay. And so I hear you say that the reason you're not going to do the QBER is because you don't have a new contract with Child Enforcement and that other thing where you get the information to put on it. So I'm confused as to how that information, how those payments that are normally on the QBER, are we just going to forego those at this point? That could be a lot of money for ENs.
Yes. You are absolutely right, and I'm glad that you were able to realize that, because this is a better service that we're offering you. Instead of us giving you earnings leads and you requesting a payment, we're now going to just make the payments based on that information we would have given you. So you actually would not need the QBER unless you were using it some other kind of way. We need to consider, you know, VR agencies under cost reimbursement who have a different process. So this ePay doesn't work for cost reimbursement, so that's why it's important that we still be able to bring it back for them. But you're right. We're on our way to auto pay. With ePay, you still have staff resources that awesome who are processing the payments. So you realize the administrative, the expedient on your side of ePay, but we're not entirely realizing it here. Eventually, ITOPS, the system that the portal is connected to, will overnight look for any earnings qualifying information and other qualifying information each night, and it will pay each night when that information is present. We're not there yet, but ePay is an interim step, and it was something that we, you know, offered to some state partners because of the large volume of our beneficiaries that they serve. But now we're going to be able to extend it to individual ENs regardless of business model. But yes, you won't need QBER in the future necessarily.
Well, that wasn't really my question, though. My question was, if you're not getting the information from Child Enforcement because you don't have access to it, we don't get paid, right? I mean, it sounds like we're going to actually forego payment.
No, we get information by law. We can get information from them. It's just that we have to consider the legalities of what we can use it for once we get it and who we can share it with. And the current agreement isn't crystal clear on that. So those kinds of things. And the agreement has to mention the system of record where this information lives, and we're building a new system here. But you know, we have systems where it lives, but it's multiple systems, and that agreement does not mention all of the appropriate systems. So it's those kinds of things. We still have the information. We use OCSE information in the agency in various ways, and we're able to use that information to run our program. This is just about privacy and disclosure, and you know, FOIA and those kinds of things. So we still have all of the sources that an individual would check to make a payment to you. None of that will change. We have an agreement that allows us to use that data to make payments.
Okay, and then just one last thing. I assume that getting this thing in place that you've been working on is the reason why the payments for January and February have not happened or have been greatly reduced to ENs.
I'm not sure that I know that's a fact. I mean, we owe a response to I believe to Paul on this, but. But we had thousands of payments processed in both of those months.
Desiree, this is Deborah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We had more payments in February than January, but we processed over 4,000 payments to ENs in February. Our numbers are not down at all. I mean, I've heard this comment from a couple ENs, and I did give them some information, but our productivity and the number of payments that we're producing or claims that we're processing, that number has not been reduced.
Hmm. Well, I just know that there were some ENs that didn't get any payments in February, and I know ours was about a sixth of what it should have been.
We process what we got, okay? And we don't have any. We do watch the 30-day. You may not have gotten them as quickly. Now, that may be the case that there's still some claims out there, but we process within 30 days. There's nothing that's overdue.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Last week I checked on payments, some payments that were made between February 24th and 27th that were still pending verification. Hopefully though that's not still the case, but there was some lag time in there, but it didn't have to do with us processing them to Treasury.
All right, thank you. Operator, do we have another call?
Your next question is from the line of Dildra Smith.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. So my question was about ePay until Susan did her series of questions, so I understand it. But I just wanted to say I've been an EN since 2009, and what you guys are doing now, it seemed like it's a breath of fresh air because it seemed like it's more up to date with what's going on as far as electronically, because now instead of us going in to the QBR trying to find the payments, you guys will be able to come up with the payments and pay us, so it's less paperwork for us. So things seem to be moving along pretty smoothly.
Thank you for your comment. Next question, please.
Your next question is from the line of Steve Gerke.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
This is Steve in Colorado. I was wondering about occasionally I get a client that because of primarily usually it's a health problem that temporarily is taking them out of the market. And currently I have them fax in a sheet saying they want their ticket suspended. First of all, I guess I wanted to ask if that's the proper way to do it. And secondly, on the new portal, will there be a button to hit suspend client?
Are you referring to a beneficiary wanting to put their ticket in inactive status for a while?
Oh, is it considered inactive? Okay, I didn't know what the exact terminology was.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, because they're having a medical condition and they really can't
do
their job right now, but they don't want to unassign the ticket.
Right, that's an action that the beneficiary would have to take, and so the beneficiary would need to contact the ticket help center.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that information would show on your ticket assignability report, the beneficiary status.
Okay.
So then active.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question is from the line of Maria Walker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have to make the same disclaimer that I got kicked off in the middle of the webinar, so I have to apologize if this was covered. But I just wanted to follow up with what Susan was asking. In terms of those ENs that are signed up for Universal Auto Pay, does that mean that automatically you are now just going to forward all the milestone payments in addition to the outcomes? Do we have to request that you begin that you begin to do that for us? What's the process for that?
That's right. That's exactly what will happen.
Okay. So we don't need to request to start doing that if we're already a UAP?
Well, for the new EPA, you will not have to request that service.
Okay. It's not in place as of today, or that's what I'm
saying? No, this is actually something that we have to develop, and
okay.
We're targeting the June time frame.
Okay. So in the interim, you can't use Cuber. You're just going to have to rely on entering the payment request forms.
Yes, you would have gotten, normally there would have been an update in mid-April. That update will not happen.
Okay.
So, you know, if you've followed all the leads from the data that's current, that was available to you since January, then there wouldn't be any update. But you can go to the portal and continue to request evidentiary payments.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob and Desiree, I just want to check in. Can we take a few more questions? We are past the hour.
Sounds good to me.
All right, great. Operator, do we have another call?
Your next question comes from the line of Carolee Morano.
Hello there.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, very good. I hope these questions are appropriate because I did miss part of the earlier part of the presentation. We're a relatively new EN, and we've never used the portal. We actually are taking our first ticket assignment right now. Our service worker is with the consumer, so I'm getting, you know, concerned about having everything in place. And we've been asked to provide the Employment Network employee social security number, user ID, security clearance letter date and systems security awareness training date. Firstly, I'm not sure how we're supposed to transmit that because I certainly don't want to send our social security numbers over by email. And I'm not 100% clear on what the security clearance letter is. And as to system security awareness training date, I assume that's the date that form SSA 222 was signed. It's a three-part question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me just address a piece of it.
All right.
We don't want you to send anything to us electronically. Teresa will give you more information about that.
Excellent.
But this question also made me realize that I needed to make a point. The portal itself is not available to SSA, to anyone in operations or here in central office. If we do not have access to the information, we do not have access to what we just showed you. Let me put it that way. This web-based portal is designed for you and for your needs. We can't open it up and look at it while we're talking to you on the telephone or something.
Right.
We have our processing system that has information in it about your organization, your ticket assignments and your payments and all. We're looking at something entirely different. Only you will be able to get into what the web-based portal, and that's why it has to be associated with your SSN and your MySSA account, because no other person should be able to get into that system without that information. And
right.
So that's why it's important that we have that information. And that information is taken over the phone, entered into our system. We're not recording it anywhere. It's going in the system, and we can't get back into, we can't get to your information, your personal information. We will not have access to any of your Social Security information. The portal is in a separate location. We're just using that system because that system has authenticated you. So that system is connected to, the authenticating organization like Experian.
Right.
So I just want you to know this is a very high degree of security.
And it's like checking a fingerprint, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do have your suitability clearance letter. You do not need to send that to us. And the security awareness form is what you send in yearly.
Right. We already sent that in. That's why we were confused at being asked for it.
Yeah. We're just saying these are the requirements to continue to be able to operate in the portal and to have an active status.
Okay.
Did you want to say something, Renee?
Yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. I believe that you asked how you transmit your Social Security number. And
yeah.
you can contact your ENSB representative, and if you're not sure who that person is, you can email enservice@ssa.gov.
I've been in email communications with both of them and have not yet had a clear response.
You can go ahead and email your ENSB representative and ask for them to give you a call. Provide a couple of times that are good for you and ask that they give you a call to retrieve that information over the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Well, if you run into any problems and need to escalate things, then you can contact Kara Kaplan.
Karen Kaplan?
Kara, C-A-R-A, last name C-A-P-L-A-N. Do you want to give her Kara's contact
information? It's just kara.kaplan@ssa.gov.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before we go to our next question, I know that we have several questions on our chat line, and I know we are not going to be able to get to all of them. We will address them in a handout, and I know we're going to continue this conversation next month. So please just consider this as kind of a kickoff, a soft rollout, just to give you opportunity to see all the new features in the ticket portal. But we have much more to share with you. We will be providing you documentation on this. And, again, we are excited that you're excited, and we don't want you to think this is the last time we're going to talk about this. We have many more conversations that we will have on this topic. Next question, please, from our operator.
Your next question comes from the line of Elise Macy.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just two questions. One, of course, we're on the Universal Auto Pay, and I just want to make sure it's okay that I request payment.
Yes, you can always request payments no matter what services we're offering.
Okay. I don't know. I get really excited about the money coming in.
Hello? Can you, yes. Hear me? We still have a UAP file, Universal Auto Pay file, that we are processing and will process next month. So that will hold up our process if you're going to submit outcome claims for any of your beneficiaries that are on auto pay until we stop that and go to the Social Security e-pay process. And we will give you a heads up on that. But for right now, we are continuing with auto pay for outcome claims.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Now, for your milestone claims, yes, you must submit those payment requests.
Okay, but again, once we get into the ePay, mm-hmm. with the new portal, because we're already on ePay, the new portal, then at that time, it won't be every quarter, it'll be more frequently that you're going to be doing it?
We'll be doing it every day.
Every day. Wow, that's
yes.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then my second question is, and I've asked this a couple times on the chat. If we're faxing into the new portal, does that mean we do not have to fax earnings statements over to SSA local office?
That's correct.
Yay. So we just do it one time. We're done. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. You were asking
okay.
whether you still have to fax them to Maximus.
No, they said to Social Security.
Oh, local sales office. I'm so sorry. I'm
mm-hmm.
so sorry. No, nothing we do changes any processes that the local sales office have in place. I'm so sorry. I was thinking Maximus. Yeah.
Okay, so it's got to be faxed to the local SSA office. The beneficiaries need to be doing that.
Yes, they still have a responsibility to report to the field office, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Randall Cook.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon from upstate New York. What are the future plans for the telephone ticket assignment line? Thank you.
Yes, you're referring to
yes.
the IVR.
Actually, yes. No, IVR is being discontinued at this time. No, not at this time, meaning today, but I mean
once we roll off the portal.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, thank you for that question. I'm going to do another check-in. Rob and Desiree?
We're going to take one more, Michelle, if that's okay.
Sure. And I just want to let everyone know that if you're not on the chat line and you have a question, please send your questions to us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.com. And we will add your questions to our overall list and get those answers to everyone. Operator, can we take our last question today?
Yes. Your last question comes from Rebecca DeLone.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. Like the other few ladies, I was kicked out of the chat line, so I don't know if you covered this, but I know you mentioned that we would be able to look at something that DOR does. So my question was, will Department of Rehab, will they also be able to access the same portal where if we needed them to unassign a ticket, we can just, you know, call them or something and they can do it right in there, or does that not apply to them?
Yeah, it applies to them as well. Yeah, they would just have to get suitability clearance and set up the MySSA account and all, and contact. They would have different contacts, which we announced on the All-VR call, in which we can put that contact information in the meeting notes here as well. But yes, they would follow the similar processes to what we're talking about here, and they would have access.
So if we saw that somebody wanting to assign their ticket, if we looked on the portal and it was assigned, that's something we can do right then and there, send that request, and they could go into the same system and just unassign it then.
Each office will have the ability to determine who carries out which functions in the portal. There will be somebody designated at each agency. Is it the is it the signatory authority? Anyway, there's a person who has the role at each organization to determine who uses which function. If you only want a person to be able to do assignability, then it could be limited to that use for them, and they wouldn't see or have access to everything else in there.
Is your question more related to Partnership Plus or having a case that's with the VR that they want to assign as a ticket to you?
Yes, the second one you said.
Okay. Right, if you go in and you check the assignability of a ticket and you see it's assigned to a VR, you could call that VR. They could go into the portal themselves, close the ticket, and, you know, a minute later, you should be able to see it reflected when you go in, check it again, and you should be able to assign it the same day.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
It should be real time. You should be able to see that, you know, the handoff without waiting for the delay.
Great. Thank you very much.
And that concludes our call today. As you can see, that there are exciting new features added to our ticket portal, and we will continue the conversation and get the Q&A out to everyone as soon as possible. So thank you for dialing in. We appreciate your time this afternoon. That concludes the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.